Our reading this morning comes from the Reverend Gretchen Haley. She writes, "When we talk about a liberal theology and ethic of sexuality, we need to start in our vulnerable, needy bodies, in real life, in the struggle to navigate our embodied neediness with others in an embrace of the still possible mutual wholeness and transformation. Any theology of sex that doesn't start with the body fails to address those implicit and injuring messages many of us and our culture carry. Early Christian thinkers influenced by Plato and Aristotle and Hellenism imagined human life dualistically, body and soul separate. The soul was eternal and of God, the body sinful and to be overcome in service of saving that soul. A liberal theological anthropology, that is, an understanding of the human person, refuses to separate the parts in any way, but rather approaches humanity as one, one of body, mind, spirit, all one, all connected, all alive, indivisible, all gifts of God or of the universe, all worthy of love and belonging inherently so, as we say. So the body is not something to be overcome in this framework, but is rather to be honored and respected and loved. Its regular workings and needs are not shameful or dirty or requiring purification or containment. Bodies are funny and mysterious and beautiful, messy and changing. As humans are funny and mysterious and beautiful and messy and changing. That bodies become hungry for food or for touch is simply true, not good or bad, just true. That bodies take pleasure in food or touch is also true, and still not inherently good or bad, just true. Most of all bodies, as they are indivisibly life, humanity, and personhood, are vulnerable as life is vulnerable. We go to great lengths to control and avoid this reality, to assert and appear otherwise. But all of us are so terribly vulnerable. We are susceptible to illness, injury, aging. Our hearts hurt literally or figuratively, often both, and often the distinction is imperceptible. Bodies that hurt can also be healed. And because bodies and spirits and minds are one, the hurt may show itself in a particular place, yet the pain will be felt everywhere. Distinctly unlovely and undesirable. So too the healing everywhere, exquisitely consoled. In the midst of all the ways that life tears us apart, sex can pull our pieces back together. Tenderly, clumsily, beautifully, and when it does, whether in the context of relationship, sex can be holy and sacred. And thus ends our reading. I invite forward Paul Hansen, one of our AL teachers, for reflection.
So I work in the mental health field, and the term counterphobic came to mind as I was preparing to speak today. A counterphobic attitude is a response to anxiety that, instead of fleeing the source of fear, as in the manner of phobia, one actively seeks out the source. I was born into the Lutheran Church, and in many ways I still consider myself a Lutheran. We lived in conservative, rural Montana. Over the years, I became homophobic and fearful of sex. I'd internalized the message, sex is dirty, save it for someone you love. At 19, I traveled to Amsterdam, the Netherlands, to study and explore another world. In those years, I stopped going to church, I studied psychology at the University of Amsterdam, and I made a point to study as much as I could about human sexuality. I worked for a year and a half as an intern at the hospital with a department for patients presenting with sexual issues. I took a counterphobic attitude towards sex. So after 6 years, I returned to live in Montana, and at a local family planning clinic, I met a sex educator who invited me to share my experience with a small group. I went to the group, and it turned out to be a mixture of UUs and members of the United Church of Christ, and the group was exploring adult sexuality in the context of religious values. It was an adult OWL group, kind of what Christian was suggesting maybe we have here. I'd not heard of OWL. I hadn't heard of Unitarian Universalism. I was surprised. It was a thoughtful group. It was inviting. People were kind. They invited me to join them in worship. And they offered me an unspoken gift. I had not realized a truth about church, that there's room in church for positive sexuality and how healthy sexuality is linked to spiritual growth. The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bozeman later became my spiritual home. And over the years, the church has funded my training to become an OWL teacher. I've continued facilitating OWL here. And through OWL, a new path has opened for me, and I'm grateful for that.
We rise, we are. am also an OWL teacher. My name's Stephanie. That was my husband that just spoke, Paul. I'm so proud of him. The other day, I bought some lipstick. And then I found out that my lipstick has a name. Kiss me, you fool.
Look pretty. Look pretty. Don't say what you want.
Hide your desire and hide in silence.
The question I hear middle school girls, among these my daughter, ask each other on sleepovers. Do I look cute? Or do I look cuter like this?
You exist to please others.
Compete with other girls for attention based on your appearance.
I said no, but my boyfriend at the time did not stop.
Your consent does not matter.
Your pleasure does not matter.
6 weeks after I gave birth to my daughter, a male family member inquired over the phone, "Do you think she will be pretty? And do you have your old figure back yet?"
Your worth is determined by your appearance.
Your health and emotional well-being do not matter.
In January of this year, my now 11-year-old daughter asked me, "How can someone who talks about women like this become our president?" The first part of my answer included a new word for her, one she'd seen on signs when we marched together in the Women's March: misogyny. The second part of my answer to her is that there are other ways for all genders to live, love, and be in this world, and that I contribute to that vision by being an OWL teacher. I too struggle with internalized misogyny. For example, I still struggle with saying clitoris out loud in church. And why? Because it's a woman's body part associated with sexual pleasure. And I was taught that a woman's pleasure did not matter, and even that it is something to be ashamed about. As I teach OWL, I confront these parts of myself. It's not always easy. I am learning and healing, and sometimes I feel rage. For example, in her TED Talk in March of this year, the writer and researcher Peggy Orenstein shared that labiaplasty is the fastest growing cosmetic surgery among teenage girls. So labiaplasty is the surgery of the female genitals. The inner and outer labia are trimmed. Think about this. Parents pay for this surgery because their daughters are convinced there's something wrong with them. They're comparing their vulvas to the vulvas they see in porn. The most sought out after look is called the Barbie, in which the outer labia appear fused like a clamshell. Peggy Orenstein also mentioned something else in her TED Talk. I highly recommend this TED Talk, by the way, if you can look it up later. In puberty education classes that our kids get here at California, kids learn that boys have erections and ejaculations. Girls have periods and unwanted pregnancy. They don't learn the word vulva. They hardly ever learn the word clitoris. I teach OWL because I want women and all genders to hear positive, implicit, and explicit messages about their bodies, their gender, their sexuality, and their relationships. This sometimes feels like a lost cause, considering the influence of advertising, Hollywood movies, not to mention the current political climate. I am not giving up. Children who have taken OWL classes are more likely to become peer educators among their friends. I've seen it. I believe they're also better equipped to stand up to bullying and are more likely to make safe sexual decisions. Treating yourself and others with kindness and respect in all matters related to sexuality is beautiful and sacred, and I believe this conversation belongs in church. That means that whoever you are, your health and emotional well-being matter. You have sovereignty over your body, including your gender expression. Your safety matters, your consent matters, your no matters, and your yes matters. Your desire matters. Asking for what you want is good. Your sexuality is a natural part of who you are. Your pleasure matters. And yes, all people with a clitoris, your orgasm matters too. Thank you.